Why
my house is going to be my one. Okay. I mean, within reason. Exactly.
Did I tell you this? No, you probably not.
Welcome. Okay. So yesterday we'd gone over this Gemara on Chav Zayin and the days and continuing on to Chav Chesam and Aleph. Interesting little Haggadah. We had a couple of questions that we left off with. One of them was just in terms of the Pshat, the Haggadic Pshat, if you will. What exactly was going on here between Rabbi Eliezer and this Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Loi? Right? What was his name?
Rabbi Eliezer?
No. Yochanan bi Rabbi Eloi. Yeah. So, we saw the Maharsha. The Maharsha said that the reason why Rabbi Eliezer tells him that there is no Sheva without a Shofet, it's basically his way of telling him, I'm not going to answer you, but you should ask someone else. Because there are people that can answer your question, don't put all your stock in me, ask someone else. But it doesn't really explain why he chose that specific way of conveying it. And it doesn't really explain the next statement that he makes about the role of the Nevi'im, right? He asks him the question again a few minutes later when the sun is overhead, and what does he tell him? He tells him, oh, there's no Shevet from Yisrael, Shalo Yotsu Mimenu Nevi'im. Well, what does that bring to the discussion that you didn't already have previously? Why do you choose Nevi'im second time as opposed to Shoftim, right? And then what happens in the third stage of the discussion, which is really not much of a discussion at all, Rabbi Yochanan takes the sheet, spreads it over the sukkah, and Rabbi Eliezer storms out. What exactly is going on over there? So I know some of you got a chance to see it. Just for those that didn't, and Chazar for those that did, the Aruch HaMir has a very interesting discussion of this whole episode. And he writes the following. It's not strange. The Aruch HaMir has it like this. Shlohamid mimenu shofet. So fine, you want to take Rashi's approach. Rashi says that Hesil Davar Achir didn't want to answer him, so he wanted to basically lead him down another path. He wanted to change the discussion, change the conversation, change the subject. So why choose this text to use? Why are you choosing this? You know. Nice weather we're having. That's usually the way people change the conversation. So Yesh Lomari writes, Kevan de lafi de maskina lakamon dafka the Rabbi Eliezer shal came the svirle ain pokekin the rabbanon the svirle pokekin ain kansaf eklal Rabbi Eliezer rotsa l'ramiz lo shiyasa kedevi chachamim. In other words, as far as this Rabbi Yochanan was concerned, the answer should be clear. Rabbi Eliezer should really hold that this is forbidden. Should hold that it's forbidden. So what was he asking? So the Aruch HaMir suggests that
Rabbi Eliezer. You were saying yesterday that it was Rabbi Yochanan who was really asking Rabbi Eliezer?
Yes, that's what I'm saying now. Exactly.
I thought you just said the other way.
No, if I did, I apologize. Okay. Basically, Rabbi Eliezer's position should have been known, as we saw from the case of Ein Pokekin. In Kansafi Klal. Rabbi Eliezer Rotsa L'Rameis, Rabbi Eliezer wanted to tell him, Rabbi Eliezer rather, Rabbi Eliezer wanted to be Merameis to him, Shiyasa Kedevi Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer was really trying to convey to him that he should follow the Chachamim. Chachamim, who would hold that it's permissible based on Pokekin, they would hold over here it's permissible. Kemosha Tziva Akiva ben Mahalo, Akavi ben Mahalo, Livno B'Shas Misaso, Kedemrinan Perak Dala De'edios. Right? So just like he instructed his son to follow the rabbim, so too over here says the Aruch HaMir that Rabbi Eliezer was trying to tell him, listen, it's true, I have my opinion, but you're not mechuyev to follow my chumrah. You don't have to be meshubed to my particular position. Follow the rabbim. The rabbim Ramatir over here, you could feel comfortable following the rabbim. V'lachin amalo shekol Yisrael hamidu shoftim, and that's why he used this type of account to answer his question. He said, listen, a lot of different shoftim. Lomar ki kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim. Anyone who's on the level to give a psak, to give a hora, to give his opinion in an area of halacha should feel comfortable doing that. Lachin lo yisal oponim. You don't have to feel that you have to only follow my position. Ela yelech. It's like a wacky day today. Yelech achar das hamarubim. Instead, you should follow the opinion of the chachamim, the majority opinion, who say it's permissible. Okay, so what happened? What happened in the course of this exchange? Aval keshehigil amargaloso shel Rabbi Elazar va'az pires mizera Rabbi Elazar derak b'shvilo asa kein. What happened? Why did Rabbi Elazar storm out in the last stage? Because he saw this Rabbi Yochanan did what? He was pores the sadin on top of the sukkah specifically for him.
Right? Him being Rabbi Elazar.
Yeah, exactly. V'lachein yotza kivin d'lidei asa. He didn't want, I hold this also to do this thing. So if I hold this also, I don't want you to do it specifically for me. Now that's a good question in general, when that holds true and when that doesn't hold true. Right, let's say there are things that I won't do, but I know you do. You follow your Rebbe. Your Rebbe says you can do this. I follow my Rebbe. He says I can't do it. So it's not necessarily always the case that I can't rely on what you're doing. I can't benefit from what you're doing. Sometimes we say that if I hold that it's absolutely usur, that's a different story. But if I hold that maybe it's a chumrah, or I hold that it's, you know, I don't do it because of the minig, whatever it is, but you have a legitimate mesor to do it, and if he holds okay, then I could very well be that would be permissible. But here, even the lashon that he uses is lo rotza sheyaseh bishvil atzmo. He didn't want him to do it for him because he held it was usur. That's one possibility. Inami, alternatively. And this is a very nice mahalach, because in this mahalach he answers the question, why use the Nevi'im description in the second stage? Inami yishlomar, there are laws of rotzel aramiz lo shehu atzmo yor latzmo. He should pass him for himself. Don't worry about it, I think. Do what you think is right. If you think it's right, then you do what you want. Yor latzmo. Dechol ha-shvatim hem yidu shovtim. Every shaven had shovtim. They didn't all necessarily pass in the same way.
It was just like a nice way of calling the Talmud Chacham.
He's telling him, you're a Talmud Chacham, you don't have to follow Zechami, you don't have to be worried about my Kavod. You know, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, in the Hakdama to the Bris Moshe, writes quite strongly that a person who is Higil or Raha has a Chiyuv to Paskin the way he sees fit. And it would be wrong for a person to not Paskin if he's Roy to Paskin, and to Paskin in a way that is anything less than the way he thinks it should be. Yeah, it's a very famous Hakdama, I mean, famous within contemporary times, but tonight, nice hakdama. Even Reitz, they said, listen, he doesn't really think that he's the appropriate person, but he says, what should he do? People ask him. People ask him, and he knows that he's learned. He said, listen, he has no choice. He's going to respond. You know, he's very humble. And if you read there, he says, you know, maybe I'm not the right person, but what could I do? People ask me, I have to tell them what I think. You know, and then he writes eight volumes of Grismoja. Okay, in any event, getting back to this issue, the Aruch HaNeir continues and he says the following. He says, maybe Rabbi Elazar wanted to be Meramis to this Rabbi Yochanan, he should pass him for himself, like the Shvatim or Mamid Shoftim, and therefore, Le'inyan Lahoros Dinei Torah Hakol Shavin. And anyone who is knowledgeable, anyone who has the skills and has the knowledge base, now not everyone's on that level. A guy can't just say, well, you know, I spent this man in yeshiva, so I'll pass my own child. So that's obviously, it doesn't seem that way.
Are they supposed to be equal?
The Gemara doesn't suggest that. I mean, that's what he was telling him. He was saying, listen, you don't have to be kafuf to me. Why are you worried about what I think? That's basically what he was saying.
Why is he walking?
Yeah, but obviously he felt like he would be more knowledgeable. Asking him for a reason, or maybe he wants to say
right. I know the Gemara doesn't really give us any indication what the relationship was between them. Lachim le'inyan lahoros dinei Torah kol shavin. Ve'achar shara shemachmas an venuso lo ratza Rabbi Yochanan b'Rabbi Elai lahoros. He was an anav. He was very humble. He had a lot of humility. And he didn't want to step up, so he didn't do anything. So Amar Elai ain kol shevet shlohem idin neviim. He tells him, listen, I see that you're still a little reluctant to take matters into your own hands. Let me give you further inspiration. If the shoftim were not enough to move you, let me give you a lesson from the Nevi'im. Ramaz lo pima da omar hillel, bidin shen estapik lo. The Gemara says this, uses this quote when it comes to something that was in question. We're not really sure what should be the resolution. So the Gemara there cites Hanach lehem liYisrael im einon neviim b'nei neviim hein. If they're not neviim, they're the sons of neviim, and if they have an established practice, then it must be based on something proper. V'achi karmelei af shelo rotz lekabel alatzma liyos k'shofei. You know, I understand you don't want to be a shofei. You don't want to be a shofei. Okay, mikol makom yasek hemachshavti. You should still do. You should still act at least what you want. You don't want to make yourself into a bal hora. You don't want to make yourself into a posek, into a shofei. You don't want to take a position of authority for others maybe, but still you should do what you think is right. V'chashiv k'navi. You'll be like a navi. How so? What's so unique about the Navi? Shemorilo min hashamayim. The Navi has a relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. The Navi gets inspiration from the Kaddish Baruch Hu. The Hagam Bazer, Shavin Kol Yisrael, the Karvel Zer Kasav Gamataz, the Afilo B'malos, Godless Yisrael, Shein HaKol Shavin. Even it's not necessarily the case that everyone is on the same level of perfection, the same level of Godless, Mikol Mokom, Hari Malos Nevua, Gidolo Mimena. You see that when it came to being a king, you needed a Navi. So at least be like a Navi. You know, be confident.
He's telling him all these nice things, and then he walks out.
Rashi Pinchas Bikra. Vafa Pikin Lo Asa Mirovan Venusa. I'm just skipping a little bit. He still didn't want it. He still didn't do anything. What happens? Shalohoros Velasos Maisu Nei Rav Elazar. He didn't want to do anything. He didn't want to paskin in front of Rav Elazar. He felt, like he said, he still felt cuff of Rav Elazar for whatever reason. What happened? Rak Acharei Shehigia Cham LaMargalosav Shol Rabbi Elazar. When he sees now the sun is beating down on his knees, on his feet, and now he feels that it's not proper, then Pires Mishum Kvodo Shol Rabbi Elazar. Then he said, no, he couldn't allow the sun to beat down on him and not take action. Then he took action. He spreads out the sheet, but Rabbi Elazar Lo Ratzel Kabel. Rabbi Elazar didn't want to allow him to do that. Why? Mishum Atzmo the Havikilu Horilo. Because now if he would let him do it, right, and he would accept it, so to speak, it would be like he gave a hora. He gave like his tacit approval. It would be like a hora. And he has a shita. What's a shita? He's not going to give hora on anything that he hasn't heard from his Rebbe. That's what the Gemara says. Lefikach yatza. So he walked out. So it shouldn't be like an approval, a stamp, a skama to that.
I don't know, it seems like.
Lefikach yatza, rakta al ze yiksha. But you could ask, lama lo the Rebbe Elazar behodil lo derech remez. Why all the roundabout way of telling him what to do? Why just come outright and say, listen, I have a position. I don't say over things I didn't hear from my Rebbe. Lama lo omer lo befeir shein omer mashal lo shama al ze. I'm sorry, lo shama al ze heishiv lo mnei shehefligu bedvarim. So that's what the Gemara is coming to explain. Not because shehefligu bedvarim. Why all the give and take in terms of the Ramazim? Oh, not because of any specific reason to avoid giving him guidance and direction, but because he has a Masorah not to say things that he didn't hear from his Rebbe, or practice, I should say. Okay, so V'kevan shezeh gufa shalomar mashalo shama have halacha shalo shama lachen lo ratz lo malakein. So why don't you just tell him outright, listen, I can't answer you because my Rebbe never spoke about this. So the Aruch Haner says, and Yonah appreciated this before, that to say that in of itself would be saying something that hadn't heard from his Rebbe. Because he didn't have that Kabbalah from his Rebbe, obviously. That was his own practice. But he didn't want to direct others in that way and have a Kabbalah from his Rebbe. So that's why he says it in the way that he said it. Okay. I just thought this was a nice attempt to explain the different steps of the Gemara here. Otherwise, you sort of stuck wondering what's going on. And the Marsha, maybe more classic in terms of interpreting Agadato, but he leaves us also wanting a little bit in the sense that he doesn't speak to the different stages of the interaction. Okay? So that's one issue. The other issue that we raised yesterday was, what about the halachic propriety of what Rabbi Elazar was doing here? Or impropriety of what he was doing here. Lashitasa, what did he do? The Gemara. Oh, he was leaving the sukkah. Where's he going? Oh, don't worry, it was not sukkahs. It was Shmini Atzeres. No problem. Right? Oh, one second. What about the fact that he's not supposed to leave his family because he says, I praise the Atzlanim who don't leave on Yom Tov and are instead involved with Simchas Yom Tov? What's the answer to that? Oh, don't worry, it was Shabbos.
Wait, so first they say it was regular. Are they saying that it was regular Shabbos?
Different regular. It was not. It was not.
But this rule.
Oh, yeah. Then right. Then it wasn't.
They're saying, oh no, we were wrong. It was Shabbos.
Where was that again? So yeah, in Yotzim Yisukal Asuga, regal Acher Havi. It wasn't really. It's okay. It wasn't really Sukkos. They didn't really have to sit in the Sukkah. With Shmini Atzeres. V'homer Elozim Shabbeich Ani Asat Slam and Shein Yotzim Yivatem Beregel Shabbos Havi. Now you're asking, does that mean to say it was really Shabbos and not Regel?
It must mean that
because you would still have a Chiyuv. On Yom Tov, you'd still have a Chiyuv to be at home in terms of Sukkos Yom Tov. It sounds like it's a total.
But if it was Shabbos and it wasn't Yom Tov, then.
Why would they sing the Sukkah? Because Rashi said they were singing the Sukkah just because they wanted to enjoy the air.
Then what was the problem of putting the covering over the Sukkah?
On Shabbos?
Oh.
Yeah, because it's an ohel issue now. That's a Shabbos issue.
Okay.
It wasn't that you're passing the Sukkah. It wasn't a question in Yeshiva of a Sukkah. It was a question more in terms of Binyan and Stira. But now you're asking a good question. Yeah, Bona.
Oh, I thought the issue would be...
What about the other... you're asking a good question, Avi. I'm not 100% confident now. Because if it was only Shabbos... It has to be Shabbos and not Mustaman. It was Shabbos, and therefore we have this problem of being poreis, but you didn't have any regular issues to contend with. That's what you have to say. Maybe it was Shabbos after Shmini Atzeres.
But the way the Gemara.
You're right, because now I'm not sure. Does Rabbi Elazar hold that the issue of. It's hard to say that if it's a Samach B'Chagecha, you should stay home. I'm a Shabbech Atzlanim. It means only on Sukkot proper and not on Shmini Atzeres. Right,
you would think it would be the whole thing.
I'm saying Shmini Atzeres is a different yomtiv, but
it's still yomtiv.
It's hard to now say that he only means it on those yomtivim, but not on this yomtiv. It's not, you know, it's on the regal proper, but not Shmini Atzeres. Yeah. I'm not so sure about that. But what about the other question that we ended off with yesterday? The Gemara is asking how was he able to go misukkah l'sukkah, right? What's the more basic question? How was he able to be there at all? How is he able to be there at all if he holds that you have to be in your own sukkah? Right?
That's why we said it was not sukkahs. Right.
And that question is answered by that answer. That's correct. Yeah. But why didn't the Gemara even ask that question? There's an interesting thing over here in the Sfas Emes. Yeah, question? Right. The reason why he could leave the sukkah is because it's not sukkahs. The reason why he could be away from home is because it's not regal.
Leaving home is a
yomtiv issue, not a Shabbos issue.
Okay.
Right, not because it would be Pesach Shavuos, and that's what I'm saying. It would most likely be Shmini Atzeres also. No reason to assume that it's not Shmini Atzeres. So maybe the Gemara is saying is that it was Shabbos after the Rego, you know, after the yomtiv was over. So listen to this Sfas Emes. This is the yeshiva's copy of the Sfas Emes, by the way, lest anyone have any suspicions. That we don't accept the Sfas Emes as an acceptable commentary on the Talmud here. It's not yet labeled, so it's probably on the bottom. It's probably on the bottom shelf. So yes, it's very easy. What's that? So listen to what he says over here. He brings down this Maisa, brings down the Gemara, and he asks a question. What's his question? That's the Gemara's question. How could Rabbi Elazar get up and leave? He holds you're not allowed to go from one sukkah to the next. Oh, the Gemara says, oh, don't worry, it wasn't really sukkahs. Ktsatz kasha. If the question is being posed with the Hava Amina, that it was sukkos, that's the basis for the question, right? How was he able to leave? You can't go misukkah l'sukkah on sukkahs. Then what? What's the more basic question to ask? How was he able to be there to begin with? Rabbi Elazar holds, we discussed previously, that you have to be in your sukkah. Dilma haya sham kol yimei hachag. Ve'esha da'ha de'hifshil keila v'yotza kashili. De'mistama nichnas l'sukkah acheres. De'vade lo bito m'mitz l'sukkah. He says, listen, if he's leaving, where is he going? He's definitely going to another sukkah. So how does that answer the question? Gam yesh lo daik amai lo maksha nami ha in yotzim l'Rabbi Elazar sukkah b'sukkasol shachavera. How about the very essential question? How could you be in that sukkah to begin with? This was our question. This was the question we raised yesterday. Mihu lufi masha kasu atosvos. Tosos makes this point that what? That even Rabbi Eliezer, I think it's this Tosos over here, earlier on Chav Zayin. It's Tosos Kol HaEzrach. Kol HaEzrach? Tosos makes the point that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who seems to hold that you must be in your own sukkah, what about a person's family? Does Rabbi Eliezer hold that each family member have his own sukkah? Right? If you tell me that every person needs a sukkah, you have to have your own sukkah, well, what about a person's wife and sons? Yeah, exactly. So Tosos over there says, no, that Rabbi Eliezer is moda. You can look about, about 10 lines up from the bottom of that Tosos. V'teima, del Rabbi Eliezer, de boi sukkah shalachem, ein shnayim yotzim b'sukkah achas. La'olam, v'heitzarach l'chol b'nei habayis sukkah l'kol echad v'echad. Rabbi Eliezer should hold that every family member, men anyway, boys, need their own sukkahs. Can you imagine? Every male member that's of the family that's above the age of 13 that needs to sit in a sukkah will have their own sukkah.
Separate sukkah.
Pretty wild, yeah. At least
but they could have little windows between one.
Yeah, they could be attached. They could be contiguous. They could just be rooms within a bigger sukkah, I guess. You could portion off. But again, each one has to own his own thing.
Yeah.
So Tosos says like this: V'shema have marbe midichsiv teishu kein tediru. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer really acknowledged that even within this requirement, you still had to allow for teishu kein tediru. She yicholim leishiv yachad b'sukkah achas. Right? That the family normally eats together. The family lives together. So, of course, the family's going to have one sukkah. You're not going to require each family member to have a separate sukkah. Right? So, the Sfasemis wants to use this Tosos to answer this question. How so? Oh, very simply. He says, according to this Tosos, Rabbi Eliezer's moda that the b'nei bias of a person, you're yotze with one sukkah, because it says, Teishu, mashma kein tediru, ayin sham. That seems to be the sensible mahalach to take, and the marshal's gear as opposed to the marshal's. In kin yishlomar duhu adin oreyach kibnei beiso nechshav. A guest should be the same thing. That a guest that comes to stay with you, teishu king tediru, dictates that he should be able to be yotzin your sukkah. He doesn't have to come and bring his own sukkah. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, who requires an individual to have his own sukkah, he would not require a guest to set up his own sukkah in your home. What's that? No, previously we thought that according to Rabbi Eliezer's strict ruling that you would never be able to go to someone else's house without Tosos. I mean, Tosos is the one that says that family members don't need a separate sukkah.
Wasn't the case in the Mishnah though that when you go,
Yeah, not according to Rabbi Eliezer though. It's not according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer has that whole problem. How are you going to... You have to answer up all those questions for Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer's shita is that you need your own sukkah, you're not yotzei mitzukah l'sukkah, you're not yotzei mitzukah chavero. So this is Rabbi Eliezer. Right, according to everyone else, we're not bothered. But if you're going to hold this, then where are you going? So Tosa says, oh, well, B'nai Beso are included. Sfasemis takes it one step further and says, use the same yisod and say, Teishu King Tadur allows for visitors also. Then he ends with a little zinger. I'll take your question 1 second. He says,
You should allow.
Yeah, just like I have visitors come and stay in my home. That's
no, but you normally eat just with your family.
No, that's not true.
Normally someone doesn't eat with their family.
Doesn't mean every day.
No, he's saying that by visiting a friend, that's part of Teishu King Tadur.
Yeah, exactly. No, he's saying visiting is included in Teishu King Tadur. Just like your family eats with you, so too, occasionally guests eat with you. That's not...
Even from the perspective of the guest, he's no longer eating in his sukkah. That's the opposite. Actually, you should eat with
that body. No, you say the same thing.
Guest eats at his house.
But sometimes he eats with the host. That's the same yisod as Teishu King Tediru telling me that sometimes when I travel, I don't need a sukkah. Right? Polchei Durachim, why my potter coin to tell us, oh, because of Teishu. Just like I don't say I can never leave my house.
Remember, we only said that if you travel off,
No, not necessarily. No, we said you can't.
Otherwise, it's not going to be taken. You can't do if you don't.
Right. We said you shouldn't just go out of your way to do something that's not necessary on to be without a sukkah. Right. I think tells us something.
It's taken. You can't do to tell someone not to eat in their sukkah because sometimes they go to guest house to eat. They go to someone's house to eat.
Well, not.
So therefore, the taste you can't do could be to eat in someone else's sukkah. That seems opposite of the. As if you're going to apply taste you can't do, that seems opposite. What we would say he should do.
It's not uncommon, it's not outside the normal routine of a person to sometimes go to someone else's house to dine there.
Yeah, but perhaps you were to someone normally eat, you would tell him his house.
Fine.
So Teshu came to do would be for him to eat at his house. Now you could say Teshu came to do it doesn't apply in this case.
What I'm trying to tell you is that sometimes Teshu came to Duru allows me to even eat outside of the sukkah altogether. Why? Because sometimes I'm traveling and that's normal. I don't always stay in my home. So Madoch, I don't always stay in my home, then I don't always have to be in a sukkah. And I can even eat outside of a sukkah. So now I'm just saying the same idea there. So, just like sometimes I don't eat in my house, I eat in my friend's house. So that.
Who cares? So sometimes I eat while I'm driving. So then you're going to tell me now I no longer have to eat my sukkah at home? I can just eat while I'm driving? So I'm just saying.
That's not a halacha.
Sometimes, then I can do anything.
Well, again, you have to fall into a certain category. In a chanami, if you're holchei derachim, then maybe that would be true. But no, that's not considered. Just because a guy's going from work to his house.
Really, it's rare that someone eats at another person's house. I understand. If you have a household, I think usually it's rare that you eat at someone else's house. As far as I know, I don't think people do it like. I don't think it happens every week.
As long as something is done during the rest of the year, then it can also be done.
Since that's a normal way, to act vis-a-vis eating and your base home, then that's
more normal for you to eat at your home than eat at someone else's house. Correct?
It's much more normal, but it's still it's a form of normality.
So if you're going to tell me teishu, how are you going to apply teishu can't do would be to eat at your own home, like you always do, or like you almost always do.
But you see that that's not that's what I'm trying to tell you. You see that that's not the way we apply the rule of teishu can't do.
Right.
Because the whole
thing. Why would you apply to think that you don't normally?
But how often is a guy holich badar? Is that every day or that's occasional?
I don't know. I thought we were basically saying
more often than not.
Applies like a businessman, really. It's like someone that really has to leave all the time. Well, that's how we had explained it.
Right.
Yeah, it was a guy right. That does that normally. So fine, and it makes sense. But you're not gonna try and explain Teshu can't do it by finding the thing that he does one.
Take a look at it. It's the Tosos on Chavav. Chafav Amar Aleph. Tosos on Chafav Amar Aleph. Holchei Derachim Bayom. Kol Zeh Nafka Miteishu Kein Tadiru. Kishem She'odam Beveso Eino Nimno Milotseis Laderech. Just like a person who has a home doesn't refrain from leaving. V'chein Mitzta'er Dipatru Le'el Min HaSukkah Haino Miteishu Kein Tadiru. De'ein Odom Dar V'makom She'm Mitzta'er. The same idea that sometimes the normal way that you relate to a place mandates or dictates that you're not there. So it's true, even though I have a home base, I don't only stay in my home base. Sometimes I'm traveling. Sometimes I'm not traveling. Sometimes I'm staying with someone else. So just like I could eat nowhere, I could eat somewhere. Now you're asking me, who is it considered a holy? But there, you're right. Tosos doesn't say it's only the person that does it. No, I remember that we discussed that. Who can avail himself of it?
If I go to a football game,
I understand your question. But you're asking a detail in now.
Well, I guess it's something I didn't think about before. Teshu came to do. But if we're just going to say that Teshu came to do exempts you from something that you do rarely, but because you sometimes do it, therefore it means that you're exempt from sukkah, then basically anything, as long as you do it annually or whatever it is, you're exempt from sukkah. So as in the night that I go to a football game, you finally do it once a year, I should be exempt from sukkah, because that's something that I do normally during the year.
It might be different than Teshu.
Big Seahawks fan.
I'm just saying, why wouldn't that be Teshu came to do? It's similar.
The eating could be attached to something else. It could be independent of Teshu came to do. If that's what you're asking.
No, he's asking basically, you're asking Din in what's called Holech Badarach now. You're asking who's called Holech Derachim.
Yeah,
but that's not Teshu.
Saying eating out is like a normal thing. Well, why is it normal? Did you do something once every month?
Okay, I mean, we have to go back and look at that. But again, that's not a question on Teshuvah Kehin to do. That's a question on Holchei Derachim. What's what makes me called Holchei Derachim?
Well,
I think you're right. I think Rashi says it has to be specifically for.
Well, no, because the Slav Sabbath is saying that it's that you're applying the rule of Teshuvah Kehin to Duru when eating at someone's house. And I don't know why he could just say that, so why that's such a simple fact to accept. I'm not sure if that's is that a, you normally eat at another person's house or you normally eat at your house.
It doesn't have to be what you do all the time. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Now you're asking me what's the barometer for measuring how often it has to be done to be called.
Yeah, I'm saying apparently Tzvah Simon thinks that that's the obvious.
That it's common enough that it's not a violation of Teshuvah Kehin Tadira. That it's included in Teshuvah Kehin Tadira. Subsumed in what's normal.
Obviously it's something that happens on a general, on a very frequent basis.
Yeah, I'm saying, but what is his? As in, does he hold that someone does that weekly?
No, I don't think. I don't think it has to be so common. I don't know.
I mean, but what
does it have to be so common then? Why can't I eat bread at a football game on Sundays?
Wait, doesn't this issue disappear?
Okay. You know what? I hear your question. Let me think about it a little bit. I think it's really going back to the whole study of tissue. No, it's a good question. It's a fair question.
I just thought that it was.
Fair question, but he's clearly taking for granted that this is considered normal enough that it's within the world of tissue. Now you're asking me. What's the barometer for measuring what's... Okay, good question. We can come back to that. Okay, someone want to start the new piece a little bit? New Gemara? You guys get a chance to see the new Gemara yet?
We can start it.
Anyone?
From Amar of Kananya.
Turn about it. Maisa Rebbe Laza Shashav Asa Gali Laya.
Whoops.
Second line.
Turn about it.
Yeah. I'm saying we're starting at the new Gemara on top of Chav Ches Amud Aleph. Okay, what did you say? Time to go.
Zach, did you get braces? Or do you always have braces?
Oh, yeah, we hear reason.
I think we're on mute.
Oh. I don't know. I thought it was like a new phenomenon. I was looking at it like, whoa, did you get braces or something? Turns out, no. So, okay.
Okay.